Welcome to the Starsology Astrology Podcast. I'm your host, Alison Price, and I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Arwen O'Neill.
Hi, Alison. It's great to be here.
So nice to have you once more. Now, in this episode, we're going to be talking about Imbolc, which is one of the pagan festivals on the Wheel of the Year. And we're going to be particularly looking at the Imbolc 2024 chart, because we can.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit about what it is, where it comes from, and why we care.
Yeah.
And then we've got some other thoughts on it as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So basically, the Wheel of the Year is following the sun cycle from the winter solstice at Capricorn. When the sun, it goes through Capricorn, then it goes through the first 15, it goes through the first 15 degrees of Aquarius. And when it gets to 15 degrees Aquarius, that is when the cross quarter day of Imbolc occurs.
Yes.
Now, this year, 2024, it's going to be on February the 4th, although Imbolc is frequently celebrated either on the 1st or the 2nd of February.
Yes.
So it's one of those days because it's part of the pagan year, and of course you can do what you like, but as you're an astrologer, you need to know that it's actually on February the 4th.
Right, because that's Aquarius 15.
Yeah, so that's 1/8 of the chart from the conception at the zero Capricorn.
And it's exactly halfway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So that's why Imbolc occurs on as the sun enters 15 for that period. It's about 6 weeks technically.
Yeah.
Give or take, we're flexible, but it's part of the cycle of the sun as it's going through the actual signs.
Yeah.
So Imbolc is actually it's been one of those festivals that's been around for since year zero, call it what you will. The Romans knew it as well, but after the birth of Christ, it became part of the Candlemas date, which is February the 4th. And this is where technically it was the purification of Mary after 40 days after the birth.
Yeah.
The women go to the church and they're purified and allowed back into the congregation because they're purified from all the products of birth, which are
takes 40 days, does it?
Gallons of, yes, it does. Yes. So anyway,
wow.
So even today, women will stay away from church until that time after birth.
Really?
Because they're unclean, yes. So anyway.
Because they can.
Well, yeah, whatever. So anyway, so there are multiple reasons for this date, and it's like almost we've got past the worst of the winter.
Yes.
We've got past the worst of the birth, basically, and we are now saying, okay, woman, you can get back on with it.
It's funny. My best friend, who is a Taurus, is always saying, well, now that Christmas is over, it's almost spring. And I'm like, no, it isn't. We've got an entire winter to go. But she's, technically right. Mythologically, she's right.
Yeah.
She's speaking from the eons hence, where they were like, okay, Christmas is over. Now the days are getting longer. It's just a downwards, sort of slope
This is the halfway mark of winter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually have noticed days getting a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
So one of the women associated with Imbolc is Saint Brigitte. It can also be Bridget, Brigitta, and Saint Bride.
Yes.
And she's also sometimes referred to as a goddess, which is super convenient for us.
Absolutely.
And the idea is that at this time, when it's St. Brigitte's Day, you take your last corn that's been there in your winter stores and you make yourself a corn dolly with the last, and you fold it over and you make these corn dollies and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you place it outside your door because they believe that she walks in the night of this date of the 4th of February, and you welcome her in, because then your harvest of your wheat will be good for the new year, because this is a time where people are running out of stores, they're running out of meat, they're running out of grain, they're trying to get through the winter, and this can be the leanest time of the year before the spring actually comes.
Yeah, and this is before they even had credit cards to max out over Christmas.
Exactly, and we are still going through the leanest thing, because you're thinking, that can't be my Visa account, what on earth happened there? And it's still lean today.
January.
Yeah. So Imbolc period of this 6 weeks is a lean time for your reserves, your stores, and what you've got stashed in your pantry or your bank account.
Yeah.
And until the spring comes in March 21st, we are in this lean period of Imbolc. So we are trying to husband or keep a good grip on our wheat, our bread is getting tired, the beans are running out, and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But these symbolic women, there are many stories that go with it. And I think you have one as well, right?
Absolutely. And this is really interesting because what you're talking about is called Brigid's Cross. Mm. And these are made out of straw. They make them into crosses. Mm-hmm. And if you just search Brigid's Cross, you'll see what we're talking about. It's just a little, you know.
Yeah, I'll put an image on the blog post.
Yeah, it's neat. And this actually corresponds with, we can talk more about spring goddesses later in the year.
Yes.
But this is these little straw figures that sort of are very prevalent in a lot of different cultures. And one of the interesting tie-ins that I see, like no pun intended, haha, is with Marzena, who is one of the Baltic goddesses of the spring. This is definitely a March goddess. We can talk more about it later. But effigies, creating little effigies of straw, dressing them up as the goddess, sometimes setting them on fire and throwing them into a body of water.
Yes.
That's not what you would do with this one. With this one, you put it on the door. But creating little straw effigies is definitely,
To celebrate that. Hold me over, Brigitte.
Yeah, these little rituals. And it's interesting because Brigitte is a Celtic goddess, clearly from the name. You can you can hear it.
Right.
But her name means high one or exalted one. It's this proto-Celtic, the word briganti, apparently.
Yes.
And the origin of the popular name Brigid or Brigitte.
Yes.
Which Bridget. Is a lovely, wonderful name. One of the most beautiful women in the entire world, Brigitte Bardot, obviously.
Exactly.
I mean, literally one of the most, like, top three, I think, in history, from when we have photos. But anyways, so the goddess of the wells was what she was known as, the goddess of waterways. She's full of contradictions, though.
Did you
She's
say the goddess of the well, the water
the wells and waterways, yeah.
Okay.
She's also a goddess of healing, of fertility, of motherhood, passion, and fire. So there's, you know, they had no trouble with, like, these contradictions back then. It wasn't just, oh, we have one goddess who's, like, the fire goddess, one goddess who's, like, the fertility. No. She's fertility, she's motherhood, she's healing, she's passion, she's fire, all of this stuff. And she was worshipped throughout Ireland, very important with protecting mothers and newborn children. And she inspired many writers and poets, so she is considered also a goddess of poetry. And, weirdly, a goddess of smithing. I'm going to say it again, smithing.
Define.
So when you smith something, you smelt, I guess, it.
Oh, like a blacksmith.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
So she's the goddess of smiths.
Smiths.
Smithing.
So if your name is Brigitte Smith, you're right on track.
Yes. Very much on brand. Very much. Yes. So goddess of, and also, like, this brings in innovation and invention. So fire, passion, poetry, invention, which is pretty cool.
It is.
Yeah. And interestingly, the reason that I am slightly familiar with this goddess is because she's also associated with lamentation and keening for the dead. And this is reflected in her goddess of life and death sort of status. These goddesses ended up encompassing a great deal of contradictions, as we say.
Yes.
But one of the interesting things that happened, and I want to say back in the 1700s, before when slavery was happening in the U.S.,
okay.
Past the time when slavery would have stopped happening in Britain, because they abolished it, like, long before the U.S. did, what they didn't abolish was indentured servitude. And a lot of people who came from Ireland were so destitute that they actually sold themselves basically into slavery or indentured servitude to the United States.
Right.
So they were an underclass that was just barely above the slave class that was coming from Africa.
Right.
And there was this kinship that occurred in some places, especially in the South, especially in New Orleans.
Mm.
And so we have this one goddess who you will find at the top of our blog post. And the reason for her is that we believe, because it's all oral tradition and blah, 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 that Maman Brigitte was the consort to Baron Samedi, who is this top hat wearing sort of caricature of a voodoo priest.
Right.
And he had this consort who is this fiery, red-haired, beautiful white woman, and they would sort of party in the graveyards, and they protected the tombs that had crosses on them, and only those. So basically, it was like a kind of a pay to play. They caroused, they swore, they drank spice infused rum, and they smoked cigars. And they just were like pretty awesome. And actually there is a wonderful characterization of them in, I think, season 2 and 3 of American Gods, which was a really great show and was canceled before its time. But anyway, you can find a characterization of this wonderful, incredibly bizarre, irreverent couple in American Gods, in popular culture.
And this is a woman who was originally Irish Celtic.
Yeah, and brought over,
and the traditions come through.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing how these stories and these, well, not necessarily traditions, because we don't do it that like that anymore, but looking back astrologically now, we can go back and say, this is the origin of these principles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Very interesting.
And of course, I mean, that's not even getting into the adoption of, the goddess Brigitte by Christians and taking over and turning her into a saint, which is awesome. So she gets turned into a saint in one sense. And then she's also a voodoo consort / priestess.
And a pagan goddess as well. So we'll take that too. Yes.
Yeah.
So do you have an image of?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Based on Melody Mangler, the burlesque dancer from Vancouver.
Fantastic. So we'll link to, is that to the Brigitte or Maman Group Brigitte?
Maman Brigitte.
Okay, so we'll put a link through to that as well.
Yeah.
And so our listeners can check it out. Some of your goddess artwork as well, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So it's your representation of this. Yeah. It's very interesting. It's an interesting time of the year because it's like your friend just said, you think spring's on the way, which it is, but this is the final gasp. Even though the days are getting longer, the pantry is getting emptier.
Right. And it tends to be like where we are, it does tend to sort of, we don't really have a lot of snowy Christmases in Vancouver, but we do have really cold January.
You've got to have a coat. You've got to have boots. You've got to have a pair of gloves. Yeah. Double hats at this point.
And most people have put away their Christmas lights, so then it's kind of depressing and dark. And
it is. It is quite, seasonal affective disorder kicks in at this time, because the winter's already been a long time. Although we've turned the corner, we are not there yet, and we won't be till we get to the equinox on March 21st. Okay, so let's have a closer look at the chart for Imbolc for 2024. And this is when the sun gets to 15 degrees, 0 minutes, Aquarius.
Yeah.
And for us, it's going to be on February the 4th. And this is the exact cross-quarter day between the quarter days of the solstice and the equinox. That's why we're going with this. Now, if we look at this chart for 2024, we see that obviously the sun is at 15 degrees Aquarius. And it's making a couple of aspects, well, three aspects, and that's what we're looking at. Well, four, actually. So there is a square to Uranus, which we would interpret as challenges coming forward. New things are going to struggle at this point to come forward. So there may be things in the news as well, because it is global. Yeah. And then it also has a square down to Jupiter, which is also in Taurus. So these will be challenges with growth. And we know that's going to be a case. It's not always going to be square Jupiter, but it just happens to be this year.
Yeah. And we're getting news about more, thousands of layoffs at Google and
It's a tough
inflation and
time.
More food costs.
You've got to tighten your belt and preserve your pantry and get it's beans and rice time, as Dave Ramsey would say. So those are the two challenges that the sun is being under pressure for. Fortunately, we then have a sextile to Chiron, which is always a very nice aspect to have. Mm-hmm. It's giving a bit of give and take on understanding, a little bit more, I want to say, care for those less fortunate, if I'd like to say it that way, where we are trying to be not sympathetic, empathetic towards others' dilemmas or situations in which they find themselves, and we sit here in our ivory towers and think, oh, well, at least the heating's on.
Right, and it's interesting because one of the things about this time of year is traditionally it has to do with there is a feast involved with it, but it's also about cleaning and cleaning out your things that you don't need anymore for it's the beginning of the spring cleaning, which in our time now is like, you don't just throw things away, for God's sake, you donate things.
You donate things to those who need
exactly,
them.
Yeah.
And there are many donation places around our city which we take our stuff, which we do.
Absolutely.
I don't know where the stuff comes from, but we still have to do these. And this is where you are able to consider others at this point, because the sun is sextile to Chiron, which is a It's not a dominant aspect, but it's one that you can lean into if you're very concerned about this at Imbolc. And that would be, as I say, on February the 4th.
Yeah, and that's interesting. It's symbolized by the spark of life, the beginning of spring, the very, very beginning of spring. And this was originally considered the start of when the very first things would push through the snow.
Yes.
The buds of, and in Vancouver, we do actually see cherry blossoms in February.
Yes.
And this was...
And snowdrops. That's one plant that comes first.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of the funny things I remember when we had the Olympics here in 2010 was all of the rest of Canada was in this utter, like devastating snowpocalypse. And then Vancouver, it was like, oh, we can see the cherry blossoms already. But yet we're trying to have, like, you know, ski...
Winter skiing.
Sports, yeah. So we had to, like, have fake snow because, like, Vancouver was just a little too... you know, awesome and getting warm already.
Yeah. Well, I'll check out on February the 4th. I'll get out there and see if I can take some photos of these cherry blossoms in the city, because it's a short-lived cycle, but it's an indication of, yes, we're getting to the end.
Yeah.
And that's indicative of Imbolc.
Yeah, I had a friend last year who we were playing disc golf in the cold of February, but there were cherry blossoms, and I had to pause at one of the, you know, the sixth hole, let's say, to take a picture of myself, like, with the cherry blossoms behind me. And I was like, sorry, sorry. And I'm trying to catch up. And the guy's like, well, if you're not taking cherry blossom selfies, are you even on Instagram? And I was like, exactly.
Well, we'll see what we can do this year. See if we can get some shots of what's out and about on the 4th of February, because that would be a good thing to see what's in our neck of the woods, right?
It's not just cherry blossoms. Apparently the first lambs begin to be born.
Oh, lambs.
Lambs.
Okay. Well, that is the early lambing, definitely.
Very early,
Okay. And then the fourth aspect that the sun is receiving is actually a quintile to the moon. I love a quintile. It's creativity and genius. We love a quintile. It's a subtle thing. It's obviously not going to come through strongly on Imbolc because of those two squares there. But it's wants and needs are almost together, where you're considering. This would be a time to consider, as those of us who perhaps are privileged, to how can you attend to needs of others, needs and wants, rather than what you want.
Yeah.
You need to maybe consider what others need, which is an entirely different thing.
Yeah.
So, and of course, living in the city, we see this around us as well. There's a great disparity between wealth and poverty, and that perhaps something can be done. And it's a time at Imbolc to consider this, that if your pantry's thin, what got you down to your last bottle of wine? But no, other people's pantries are thinner, and you need to, consideration has to be given to care for others at this time, because the moon is aspecting the sun in Imbolc on this year. All right, so we've had a look at Imbolc. We've decided it's a cross quarter day, occurring, of course, when the sun is 15 Aquarius. Super important day in the wheel of the year. It's an important day for astrologers. It's a time for reflection and consideration. We've spoken about St. Brigitte, Brigida, Bridget.
Maman Brigitte.
Bride, Maman Brigitte.
Yeah.
All combinations of that name, Bridget Bardot. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who she is. And it's just one of those things that, because I do enjoy following the cycles of the sun, the natural cycles, and to live in line with them, although it's not easy because we live in a city, but if we were living perhaps out in the farms, you'd be more paying attention to these things and on what was happening.
Yeah.
But the consideration has to be given to it. You can't just,
you
can't just be buying avocados in winter because they ship them right in. If you were living out on a farm, you'd have your last potatoes and so on. So this is why I'd like to follow the wheel of the year. It gives you time to pause and think about how things would be if we weren't so organized. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Arwen, and sharing your art with us, your fabulous art for Maman Brigitte. That is fantastic. And to our listeners, if you found that this was value in this episode, please do share it with others. And you can certainly email us at starsology@gmail.com with any comments about this episode or anything else you want to ask about astrology. And make sure to check out Arwen's artwork. It's super interesting. She is a totally talented artist, and it's a pleasure to know her.
Well, thank you very much. You can find me at mspink.net.
mspink.net, and the link is below.
Yes.
Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer or someone who's learning astrology or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a one-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a one-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.